Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game.com.
Yes.
Sam and Greg.
Nine floors up in the Kia Studios.
You can hear us coming out of here. You can hear us coming out of radio.com and all your devices and your smart speaker. Sam doing a sideshow there. And people, can we mention some of the folks that are tapping into us and
we
listening?
We got all kinds of people like Chip Carey been on here with us.
Chip needs to give us a call and tell us what game he would like to have attended. And one that he didn't call, obviously, but an all-time game.
Mike Conti is watching now, who was with us just last week, is here. I don't know.
Well, what did Mike say throughout his time when he was on with us?
He told all kind of stuff last week. He was saying he's a businessman on the ninth floor. Remember?
Yeah, but I'm saying he got plenty of time now, so yeah, that's why he's tapped into us, and we couldn't be happier.
We're happy that you're with us. We got Mike and Matt. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. But can they top Steve Holman's story of the casket game?
Y'all got to turn it. You got to go to the website for that one. That's going to be our moment. It's Steve Holman on, and this all started, by the way, because Sam saw his picture on his Twitter page that he got some toilet paper. That was endlessly funny
Steve
to Mr. Crenshaw.
Holman found toilet paper and he had a smile on his face. It looked like the Hawks had beaten the Lakers. I mean, it's great, you know.
But he did. He told a story that I hadn't even heard about the game. End of the series.
Game six.
Don't give me more away. They gotta go listen to it. But it's all what right. happened. All what. Right. The Atlanta fan base did here when the Celtics had to come back here.
Right.
And their message to not only the team in the city back in Boston, but their head coach.
Yes.
We'll leave it at that.
It's classic.
Coming up in a little while, we're going to hear from D. Orlando Ledbetter about some of the moves the Falcons have made. Then go around the NFL, but let's you and I do that right now,
okay,
if you will.
Okay.
Around the NFL and kind of speculate, because last year the NFC West was the division. That was kind of the power division in the NFC. This year, general consensus is it's us.
I believe so.
NFC South.
I believe the teams have made the necessary moves so far. But we're going to be the division. Everybody's going to be watching. I mean, especially Tom Brady brings that with him.
I was just going to say, it's only really been one team making, you know, Drew signed. He resigned a couple more years. We got going on here. We still don't know what's going to happen in Tampa Bay or in Carolina, what that's going to look like.
Well, but Teddy Bridgewater's gone.
We
up
don't
there.
Know what it's going to look like,
but
though.
But still, they picked him. He played his way into that position. He made the most out of his time.
Listen, we can talk about the quarterback and what kind of leadership he brings. They lost their leader on defense, who Kuechly shut it down.
You're right.
And he was the guy that kept, he was the glue for that defense. And say what you will, did you think that confusing him with the college coach. Ron Rivera.
Oh, Rivera.
You had brain with still too,
yeah,
huh?
Because he
quit doing that show over there.
Now he's up in D.C.
What did you think? Ron Rivera stopped learning how to coach?
No, I don't think so. It just, you know, the magic of circumstances and the people we're talking about who are missing weren't healthy enough to be there all the time. You know, Kuechly, you know what his problems were with concussions and being out. You had a quarterback that only played, what, two games last year? Your starting quarterback. And you find out what you had in Christian McCaffrey. And you know that, but thing of the, is that enough for you to lean on right now?
Well, that's what you got to ask yourself. And I always go back to Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy was a defensive-minded coach, right? That's what he was. That was his side of the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Much like Ron Rivera, played on 85 Bears. So he brings a defensive mind to that team. And can that guy coach up an offense that needs to be helped? He's had the luxury of Cam all these years. But now he's got to coach up a guy who was actually part of the conversation for MVP. And can he take that offense? And that's where I think the disconnect happened with this team. And just being there for the amount of years that he had, and Cam being, you know, unsure what's going on with him. So it'd be interesting to see what he has next. But that's why I say to you, I don't include Carolina in what makes the NFC South a powerhouse yet. We just don't know.
We don't know Tampa Bay either.
You're right. We don't.
Getting all the hype.
But they have a better They have a 10 times better quarterback than they had a month ago. Who a guy who ain't going to throw 30, 20, and chances are, would you say that? Do you think that Tom Brady would throw more than 10 interceptions in the course of a year?
But he's going to throw the ball away a lot. He's going to throw the ball away a lot. I think that happens. But that's what he does. He doesn't get sacked a lot.
But you think he's going to get you know what knocked out of him this year?
Oh, I do. I do. I think he's going to get hit. Really, you know, because that's the one thing we're going to find out about New England this season. Was it the quarterback or was it the coach? Who had the magic dust in their pocket? And we're going to kind of find that out this year.
I hate to admit it, but I think it was the coach.
You think it was the coach?
I think it was the system.
And, you know, is it the coach that had the magic powder or was it the quarterback?
Then ask yourself this.
And we're going to find that out.
What was the last really, really, really successful system in place that had one quarterback run it forever and then didn't miss a hiccup when that quarterback left? And yet the quarterback had a little bit of success. There may be others, but the one I'm thinking about is Bill Walsh.
Yeah, San Francisco.
Okay. So he was the first genius, right?
That was kind of seamless.
West Coast offense.
And his assistants went all over the place.
And not only when Montana left and went to Kansas City, Steve Young stepped in and got himself a Hall of Fame career because of that. Of course, his other USFL and Tampa Bay days, but he stepped in and continued that system. And then George Seifert stepped in and continued that. That's another dude who doesn't get his due, too.
Yep.
Him and Tom Flores.
Right.
I think are like, oh, yeah, those dudes won Super Bowls.
But you mentioned the quarterbacks that were able to do that. And
my point is Montana went to Kansas City and performed.
Right.
All right. And for the life of me right now, I can't think of who the Kansas City coach was when he went there. He had Marcus Allen, though, as a running back. And Marcus Allen was fresher than he had been because Al Davis put him on the bench because of Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Right, so when he got to Kansas,
was Schottenheimer?
Might have been Marty.
I think it was Schottenheimer at the time he went out.
So when you look at that and you ask yourself, okay, and Joe Montana wasn't 43 when he went to Kansas City, so you got to ask yourself, can this quarterback have the success and reach the NFC Championship game like Montana did, or at least continue to make them relevant throughout the playoffs, through a playoff run? That's what you got to ask yourself. And then you ask yourself, well, Belichick's got a system in place, and he has shown us. We're questioning what Tom Brady can do, but we've seen Belichick insert another quarterback into his system and have success. 11-5 with Matt Castle.
Yesterday it was all over Twitter that it could be Cam Newton. I mean, it's just all over social media yesterday. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying that's what we're seeing on social media today. A lot of people throwing that out there.
You threw out Jameis Winston earlier.
Well, not to New England.
Oh, no, was that Jay? He threw that out?
No.
Yeah, he did. He's admitting it.
Yeah. No, I'm not. No.
Belichick is not going to put up with a guy who's going to throw a whole bunch of interceptions.
Yes.
If he cuts him in half, that's 5 too many. That's 10 too many.
I know it. I don't think Coach Belichick has a long tolerance for guys who throw the ball to folks in the wrong uniform. But I think, you know, Cam Newton kind of fits the mold of what that team has done down through the years. We've seen them reclamation, bring guys in who serve a purpose. Now, they weren't at the quarterback position. We had the constant at the quarterback position, but we could see they're running back by committee. They just found a running back anywhere. Mm-hmm. Wide receivers that didn't have, they only had one deep threat up there. You know, the wide receivers were guys that would catch short passes and break tackles and add yards after the catch. But it moved, and it continued to work. And so that's the thing. Do you get a quarterback now? Do you go for somebody younger? Or if a Cam Newton could come in, he's going to have to take whatever they offer him. He's not going to be able to go up there and demand a bunch of money. So, I mean, if he wants to go there and feel like it gives him a chance to come in and win, to me that would be the thing, the carrot that would dangle for Cam Newton if he wants to come back and play, he may know he has a short shelf life. But if he's healthy enough to start this season and he gets a chance to be a starter there, would New England be a good landing spot for him? I think it could be.
Let me ask you a question. This is what runs through my mind when I hear this speculation about who's going to land there, and I'm part of the game too. So I have to use some sort of comparison to understand the man, meaning Belichick. And I see a move similar to what we're talking about. We can speculate on Cam Newton. I don't agree because I don't feel like they're going to take a chance not knowing what his foot is like and his mobility. And you're not going to be able to have a chance to work him out, right? We don't, there's just a whole lot of holes in making this decision. That's not, this is not just a Cam Newton who has continued to be that guy who went to the Super Bowl with a couple of dings and dunks in his, you know, in his shoulder. And when you talk about a foot, that's a situation.
Yep.
But here's what I think about when I think about Belichick and will he take this or that? Who's one of his proteges? Meaning Tennessee. Nobody thought that he was going to, like, get Ryan Tannehill to be the person that he is, right?
Right.
So maybe that arrogance that he showed comes from that Belichick tree, feeling like I've got a system in place and I can take a guy who, on a scale of 1 to 10, I had a 10 for all these years, but I can take a 7. A really good 6.5, but I definitely can take a 7
right.
and plug him into this system and for the next few years continue.
With the running back that you have. You're the running back you got in Tennessee. I mean, that's the thing you got up in Nashville. That made life a whole lot easier, you know, for him, you know. But you still got to come in and manage, and you got to do things to help your team win, not beat, you know, go out and do things that get you beat.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. We're going to continue these football questions in a minute with D. Orlando Ledbetter, who is going to join us. I asked you this yesterday, and just stepping out of division for a minute. Because when we talk about these quarterbacks landing in different places, did you see Nick Foles going to the Bears?
No.
That's why I said yesterday, man, everybody who follows the boys up there going, what are they doing? But then in a way, I kind of see it because Mitchell Trubisky needs something to push him. He needs like, you know, quarterback controversy.
And someone who's ready to do what Tannehill did in Nashville last year.
Yeah, but you don't
want Trubisky go out and stumble like Mariota did.
But you don't want Foles for even half a season. You want him to come in late in the season, you know, hopefully not at all. But if he has to do mop-up work at the end of the season and get you through the playoffs, we know he can do that. And he doesn't got to be that mobile in NFC North. That division is another one.
Yeah.
That I don't know what Aaron Rodgers and that Packers team is going to look like moving forward. They're talking about Clay Matthews going back there. That Clay Matthews from before is not the Clay Matthews who'd be going
he's
back.
No, not the one that's going back at all. And let me ask you about a guy that we always talk about. We talk about guys with afterthoughts. Phillip Rivers and the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
He's still He's a future Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
Does being in an environment of a possible potential contender do something different for him? He's been a part of winning. But he hasn't been a part of contending.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
I wonder what it's going to be like when the spotlight hits him the way it will for an entire season. He kind of been an afterthought out there in San Diego forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's been racking up the yards,
but
though.
Just he's being a compiler.
He's been breaking up the record book big time.
Throwing up stuff, you know? And you agree he's probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to get the gold jacket?
Very much.
Here's another guy who's been out there in anonymity. People realize he's great, but again, for some, that little section, that southwest part of the country and the teams that are out there, I'm talking about Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah. Well,
is another guy.
We don't even know Larry Fitzgerald, though. I don't. He's been big time.
No, what I'm saying, though, he's one of those.
Yeah.
When you start naming all-time great quarterbacks, unless you follow football, he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. I ain't saying he's like the Jimmy Johnson and Tim Duncan category, but he's close to it.
Yeah.
I don't see success for Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis. I just don't. I just don't.
I think, you know what, flying under the radar kind of, he could make a bigger impact than Brady. I think potentially he may have more of an infrastructure around him and a team that's ready to be more of a contender than Tampa Bay is.
We'll see that.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask this to our man next.
Let's do that.
D. Orlando Ledbetter going to join Sam and Greg up next. Is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com, and check us out on radio.com and all your devices and your smart speakers.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Nine flows up in the Kia Studios on this race day Sunday.
Ah, bless you, man. Making us wait.
Sam and Greg. Don't forget we're available on the radio.com app everywhere on your devices and also on your smart speakers. You can have Sports Radio 92.9 The Game go with you wherever you may be.
How busy do you think our next guest is?
Very busy. I've been keeping up on social media. He's been cranking it out.
There are people in the sports world, connected with the sports world, that have had a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
And then we got D-Led, who wears more than one hat. So he just takes the sports one off, and he becomes what? Do we need to start calling him Professor?
Professor Led.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Greg and Sam. Thanks for having me on the show today.
should we bring him into our conversation, the lighthearted stuff, before we get into the football stuff? Or
first of all, D-Led, how you and the family?
Yeah,
you and Queen Led, how y'all been making it with what we're dealing with?
I've been pretty tough over here. We had one of the kids getting ready to graduate from Howard, and now the graduation's been canceled, so we've been dealing with that. Had to get her moved back here. But given what's going on around the world, that's a minor setback. Whenever they do get to graduate, I'm sure it's going to be a great time. So, little tough, but then my students at Georgia, we've been out. We're going to get cranked back up here on Monday online and just been working with my folks over there at Grady Sports to make sure we have a great plan for them and make it as fun as possible for a group of kids that are getting ready to cover the Final Four. So I'm sure they are in a bad place too, but we're going to try to make it as exciting as we can for them.
All right, well, that's the work part of it. You've been staying healthy and everything with the family, though? No issues there?
Oh, yeah, no doubt staying in. Did a little walk around the neighborhood. My Fitbit steps are down, but I got to figure out I got a treadmill in the basement, so that's an easy fix. I just have to turn the treadmill back on and take the coats off of the treadmill and make it stop being a coat rack and make it be a treadmill again.
Okay.
Multi-purpose device. Nice going, D-Lynn.
Hey, listen, in a way, you really would be doing kind of the same job this past week, and what's going on with free agency and things like that. How much of what you would normally be doing has changed for you during this period?
Just the phone part. I would have been to cover free agency, but I've been doing it out and about and in the car with the recorder and maybe going to see some folks work out and stuff like that. I would have been going to pro days and stuff like that. But other than that, I'm just get up, get on the computer, start making calls, start emailing folks. These new agents like to text you. And try to hit them up however way you can and try to stay in touch with the team so that if something breaks, we can get a hold of it as quickly as possible for the fans out there. So, yeah, last week was pretty normal. I'm not expecting a lot of free agent activity here, but now we can start getting ready for the draft. And we luckily had done a lot of that work by going to the Senior Bowl and the NFL Combine to get your draft profiles and stuff. And so we can follow up with the people over the phones and so forth. So we'll start working out that plan here, which will get us to the end of April. We won't get to the OTAs and stuff, that's going to be closed. So that's about the only thing that'll be missing here between March and the end of April.
Now, D-Led, a part of that process for not only people who cover the team, but obviously the teams themselves, is the medical information they're getting from these players coming up, and they're not going to be able to do that moving forward. So that's a big void when people are making decisions about holes they need to fill on their team when they can't get close to them and check them out like that.
Well, I just was reading about Tom Brady's situation in Tampa, and the Bucs were fine with him going to the doctor in New York where he was at. So you're going to have to do your medical. Say Todd Gurley's in L.A., they got to find an L.A. doctor at Mount Sinai or something that's going to do him, or the Rams doctor or the Chargers doctor. It's not ideal. You definitely want your doctor to be able to see him, but at the present time, that's not an option. So, if they want to move forward, and I'm sure they do, they will act accordingly. Some teams are probably not doing that, but we know that with Tom Brady, the 43-year-old guy, the Tampa Bay went to a new doctor in New York for him.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with D. Orlando Ledbetter, talking all things NFL. And he is social, by the way, following him at D. Orlando AJC, at D. Orlando AJC. All right, D. Led, thoughts about what our Falcons have done this week? It's been a busy week. A lot of faces we've been familiar with have departed. Some new faces have come in to give us hope for the team to go out and have a productive and winning season. There's still more to come, but thoughts about how they started things off.
Well, Sam, you know, I'm just going to start off with, you know, the fact that that line gave up 135 hits and 48 sacks last year, and they've done nothing to fix that. So, you know, let's just stay right there. You know, but they did do some good things. Dante Fowler over Vic Beasley, that's a plus. Todd Gurley over Devontae Freeman, I'm going to say that's a plus, even though, you know, there's an issue with the knee. Hayden Hurst, Austin Cooper, wait and see on that one. Hooper's produced here. Hayden hasn't produced yet, for the Ravens, but, you know, has potential. So, you know, we can live with that one. Trufant, there's no replacement for him that we know of, unless they're going to try to say it's Kendall Sheffield or Isaiah Oliver, which, you know, we saw Isaiah have a bumpy first year as a starter. No replacement for Devondre Campbell, unless you want to say it's Foyer Ulukon, who came on last year, the sixth-round pick from Yale, from St. Louis, went to the same high school with Ezekiel Elliott. So, you know, reserve guard, that's not, you know, losing Schweitzer, you know, hopefully you can find a reserve guard and so forth. So, for the most part, the cornerback looks to be the big issue. I'm still saying left guard, you know, and backup guard, because you got to firm up Matt Ryan's pocket and you got to get the run game going, and they didn't do it last year, even though they did look good with Chris Lindstrom in the last four games. So, maybe the one guard being out hurt him a great deal more than we were projecting, but I'm still focused on that offensive line.
You know, it's funny how you think about everything that you talked about.
Yeah.
But this team had this comfort zone for a number of years, and it went away at the beginning of last year. They tried to bring it back for a minute, recapture it. That didn't work. And I'm saying, as far as all the things that seem to be important with this team, are you comfortable with Koo as your kicker? You know, the special teams and field goals and things like that took a hit. And I don't even know who's out there to go grab, but I'm just saying that's a position that I would think, you know, needs to be addressed.
Yeah, you can get Blankenship in the fourth or the fifth, the Georgia kid, let him come in and battle it out. That's what I'm thinking I would do. Or the Georgia Southern kid, he's, Tyler Bass. So, yeah, I mean, when you just traded away a couple picks, though, and you only got six picks, you're really not trying to take a kicker. But as far as Koo is concerned, I'm fine with him from 45 on in. I don't think he's a long ball guy, you know, and the kids don't have a long ball history either. So it depends on how you're going to use the kicker. If you're going to be trying to kick 52 or 54 yarders all the time, which, you know, they were doing with Matt Bryan at age 42, which made no sense to me. You know, you're asking for failure. You got to get to the 35, let the guys take 52 yarders, and then you're going to be in pretty good shape. That's what Coach Smith and them did. They wouldn't even try to field goal unless they got to the 35. And the Falcons now don't seem to have a line, and they try these Hail Mary type field goals that don't work out, and they ended up kicking the kicker's leg out. At age 42.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC and AJC.com, sharing and being honest with us, as he always does.
You know, you got to think, you got to worry about them special team players, man.
D. Led, thoughts about the division and the changing landscape, especially at quarterback. Drew Brees is the constant, and Matt Ryan. We got a change in Tampa Bay. Got a change up in Carolina. And where does the former, what do the former starters at both Carolina and Tampa Bay land?
Yeah, no doubt. I like to start with the Saints because they got Emmanuel Sanders here over the weekend, too. And, you know, hopefully Coach Sean, you know, he's got the virus. And saw him at the combine. He's, you know, that was a month ago. So, you know, it was before any of this happened. So hopefully he's doing well and hopefully he's, you know, everything works fine for him. But, yeah, the Saints with Drew Brees coming back, that's big. Teddy going to Carolina. That looks like a bridge-type situation, but Teddy's won before. He was 11-5 in Minnesota before he hurt the knee and then played five games last year, won all five of them. So Carolina's rebuilding, so I don't think they're a factor in the division race at this point. I don't, you know, I'm kind of low on the college coaches coming in, especially when they're bringing in all their college coaching buddies.
Yeah. Hey, but D-Lay, let me ask you about Carolina. Let me stay on this for a minute, because as important as it was to fill that quarterback hole, they lost Luke Kuechly too, and that guy is as important on the defensive side of the ball as most quarterbacks are to their team.
Yeah, no doubt. And over the last 2 years, they lost Luke and Thomas Davis. But I'm here to tell you, Greg, Luke Kuechly wasn't the same guy the last 2 years. He might have known how to get to the ball and could, you know, diagnose your plays, but he wasn't, you know, given the health issues and the concussions, he wasn't the same guy. And I'm glad to see him, you know, sit down and take care of his health. He was a baller for years, and they're going to have problems replacing him. Shaq Thompson did a good job replacing Thomas Davis, but, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're rebuilding. Greg Olsen's gone. Cam's gone. You know, just about everything we knew about the Ron Rivera Panthers is being erased up there. So we'll see how they rebuild and look at them down the road here.
Well, you mentioned Cam. Where does he land? Where does Jameis Winston land?
Well, they both are going to be looking at backup situations, stunningly. Although Cam, you know, the Chargers is wide open. They got Tyrod Taylor right now, and they're going to draft somebody. But Cam looks like a perfect fit for the Chargers. If his foot is okay. I mean, a Les Frank injury is a career ender for some guys. So hopefully, you know, he can get his health together and his shoulder. You don't know if Cam can be Cam right now, but if he can, the Chargers look pretty good for him. And, I mean, the Bears picking Nick Foles.
Yeah.
You know, how about that?
I would think somebody would hit the table for Winston at some point. They got to do something up there, and I don't think Nick Foles is your answer.
Well, I made a suggestion to Sam earlier. We were talking about this. Let's stay in that division. They got to worry about the health of Matthew Stafford up in Detroit. This is a guy who you talked about and heard. He had bone chips and spurs flying around on his back last season. That's never a good thing, and I don't know how that sort of thing heals. He says he's ready to go for this upcoming season, but putting Jameis up in Detroit, and if Stafford had to take a couple games off, you know, you got a guy up there who maybe can help him with his interception issues. I just thought that was a possible landing spot as a backup for Jameis. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I like that one too, Greg, this spot, because that team is kind of falling apart a little bit with the way the coach talks to the players and so forth. We've seen Darius Slay comments over the last couple of weeks. I know what he was trying to do. He's trying to say his one guy was coach, but if he can coach Darius Slay hard, then the rest of the team would fall in line. But, you know, how he did it was a little bit less than respectable. So, you know, that's a hot spot. I don't think if, you know, they only won three games last year, and if that goes sideways, you know, maybe Stafford, you know, there were rumblings about who wants out and who wants to get rid of him and so forth. So, yeah, that's a spot for Jameis to maybe come in and, you know, get a shot at the quarterback position down the road.
All right. Great knowledge as always. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Considering the circumstances on this Sunday morning, D-Led, always good catching up with
you. Thank you, D-Led.
Professor Led.
Yes, that's right.
Professor Led going forward.
You're right.
Thanks so much for the time, brother.
You're welcome, Sam and Greg. Take care. Take care of yourselves, and appreciate you all having me on the show this morning.
As always,
appreciate having D-Led on with us, man. He brings the knowledge, and, you know, don't mind saying it. And Sam, I can't get past that. Sam, I can't get past that offensive line.
Yeah.
to get my little bit of D-line.
All right, we're going to give you some final thoughts, go around the NFL. And Mr. Crenshaw has actually got an update on an event that is taking place today.
Yes.
It is a race day. We're going to talk about that next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, you can check us out on radio.com on all your devices and your smart speakers. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, I'm just going to say a beautiful Sunday morning. Because we're doing fine. A little overcast, but no rain in the area.
That's okay.
Want to remind you, you can listen to 92.9 The Game on radio.com and all your devices. And, of course, your smart speakers.
Yeah. This song reminds me of something that I mentioned earlier in our show. When you talk about sign of the times.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw before I got on the freeway this morning, that there was a Waffle House that was dark.
Yeah, we have been talking.
just something that you don't see ever. Just look around you. You see some things that, you know, just.
Yeah, what was it for you? I mean, obviously a lot of parents with the kids, the schools being closed, that's what made it real for them.
Real.
But
yeah,
when you said that this morning, I was trying to think, you don't even see that on Christmas Day.
No.
There is no day of the year that you see Waffle House dark, unless they're building one.
Yeah, Waffle House is dark this morning. I'd never seen, you know, you just certain things you just don't see, and to me that kind of drives the point home of where we are and what we're confronted with.
I have to tell you this. I got a text from Corey McCartney, who we had on earlier, a friend of the show, FS1, and he's a guy we go to for baseball, along with Joe Patrick, who works here at the station. And during our segment this morning, we were talking to Corey about games and things that he'd like to be a part of, because we've been doing it all morning long. With the reruns that all the sports stations are showing, are filling with content, we decided we're going to put ourselves in a classic game, a classic event that we'd like to have been a part of. And we've done, you know, Sam just started off with a Wimbledon match, and I started off with a boxing match, and then we went to baseball and basketball. We're going to give you a football one here in just a minute. But when we were talking about baseball, I had brought up my wife was at the Mark Fidridge almost no-hitter early on. He went like 7-8 innings, and then he lost it, but they won the game.
Okay.
But they had replayed the game this past week. The Monday night baseball game. Monday night. But y'all forget about when Monday night baseball started. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't it Al Michaels and Howard Cosell?
May have been.
I thought that was the national Monday night baseball game.
Because,
you know, Al Michaels tells stories about working with Cosell before they were on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
But Cosell did it for a minute. But anyway, he texted back and said he met Mark Fidridge. Corey McCartney did.
Whoa.
At the last Tiger game, because he told the story about how he went there with his father. His father was a big Tigers fan. And he met Fidridge at the game. And then he was getting on the bus. And then he also met Sweet Lou Whitaker.
Woo. That's nice.
There you go.
So, there you go.
I get home and let the wife know I was thinking about
there
her.
There you
I
go.
To tell
there
that
you
story.
Go. She will love it.
Your final thoughts on, we've been talking all morning long about where some of these quarterbacks are going to land, and we've talked to D-Led. You and I have gone back and forth between the two, Winston and by the way, we should also throw in, Jahi thinks that a good landing spot for Jameis is Denver.
They are looking, and they just had a great running back. They just
had a running back. He figures that, yeah, that was his issue in Denver and in Tampa Bay, get himself a running game. I always think that any quarterback of note doesn't want to go under the microscope of a John Elway on a regular basis. I mean, it took a Peyton Manning to have some semblance of success up there, but even then, it was the defense.
Yeah, and it was short term. You knew he wasn't going to be a long term guy, so that made things a little bit different as far as that particular situation went. But yeah, you're right. That's a guy that's looking over your shoulder the whole time,
and you can't say nothing to him either.
A great resource, and that. Maybe that could make a difference.
Well, let me ask you a question. Then what happened with the Super Bowl MVP quarterback that went out there that they just released in Joe Flacco?
Well, that's just it, though. We've known forever that Flacco is more or less a game manager. He's not a guy that's got to go out and win a game for you. Jameis has the tools, we would think, you know, physically to go out and be a guy who wins games for you, not just manage a system. We're talking about somebody with a whole different skill set of talents and gifts to me. So, I mean, that brings a different type of analogy for a quarterback like him rather than Flacco.
All right. So
even though he's a Super Bowl MVP, but, you know.
Well, we normally get a game day Saturday or Sunday out of you, but today it's a race day. What's going on, man?
It is a race day Sunday. For people who don't know, NASCAR will go racing today. And you may not be into esports, you're going to get opportunity to sample it this afternoon. And, it, you know, we talked yesterday. We had Brendan Williams from NASCAR come on with us and talk about this event that's coming up tomorrow. It's going to be called the Dixie Vodka 150.
Say that again.
The Dixie Vodka 150.
I thought you usually pour the one into the other.
That's what this was going to be called. And it's going to be a simulated version of the Homestead Miami Speedway. It's usually going to be the usual esports drivers, the guys who participate in this online each and every week. And it's a series that pays out over $300,000.
Okay.
But today's race, it's going to be an invitational, and they're going to invite some actual drivers who've driven NASCAR, some from the Cup Series, to come and be a part of it. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is one of them. You know,
Denny Hamlin's
going to be one of them. Kyle Larson's going to be one. Kyle Busch is going to be involved with. Bobby Labonte is going to be involved with it. And they're going to go and match up their skills against the guys who usually drive in the eSports League, NASCAR. And that's going to be on FS1 today at 1:30. So today at 1:30 on FS1, you're going to get to see some racing. Brad Keselowski is going to join into this now. Some other drivers have jumped into this. Chase Elliott's jumped into this. Joey Logano. This is going to be
growing
fun.
Since yesterday.
This is going to be fun. And if, you know, if the drivers have fun with it, the real drivers have fun with it, we may see this every week.
How long has this been? And when we were talking to Williams yesterday, he was talking about this has been around for about 11 years or so.
11 years to have an esports league. Not to the degree of what we're seeing now, but it's always been out there.
And Earnhardt won the first one?
The first one, and
he won the first one, okay. And they were wondering whether or not they were going to get the drivers to participate, and he says they got to push people away.
Yeah. I think they got a field of 35 cars for this race today, which is going to be interesting to watch. So for those of us who just want to see, let's see some competition.
Yeah.
And something live that's happening now, not something that happened 10 years ago. Well, you know, that's what we want to see right now. We want to see something live go on. So today we have a live race, and you know, I think it's something that can attract people who are real racing fans, along with people who may not be of such a hardcore racing fan, but they may be fans of the e-sport.
All I want,
you know what
is
I mean, and it brings them all together. This is something, and you know what? Let's see how many other sports follow suit with this.
Well, we've been talking about with 2K today. And all these other ones, yeah.
Absolutely. And right now, everything is big with NFL because of free agency. When that starts to die down,
oh yes,
look for a big Madden tournament.
Yep.
You know, to come on for some big money. There's some things that I think that are probably in the works as we speak with the different sports to do to entertain us and to keep us engaged with the players. Or drivers, in this case, may be, until the real thing comes.
Now, help us out for those who don't know. Will there be just their names up on the board when this race takes place, or will there be a camera where they're located that you should have on them?
They're going to be cameras on them. You're going to do split screens with them.
I want to see
on board, just like you see with a regular race. I watched that they had an e-race Wednesday night, and I actually went online on the website to watch it. And just like they would talk about a certain driver, his car will pop up in a full screen, spleen was split in half, and you're looking at the actual driver. You're looking at his face. You're looking at him driving, working the controls.
Sticking his tongue out to the side, getting all leaning and all that. I want to see that.
You actually saw that. And then split screen comes up, and a Coca-Cola ad runs, just like on regular on TV. So Coca-Cola's a sponsor of those. So you're going to see commercials in this, too, just like you would on a regular
Saturday. Before we get on out of here, let's finish up with our football game. Again, we've been doing this throughout the show. A lot of replays. As Sam said, you don't want to watch something 10 years old. But since we are doing that, and we've decided to insert ourselves into some classic games that we would like to have been a part of, some of you have joined us and said, I'd like to bet this game, the Hank Aaron game where he hit the record. So this hour, we're doing football. We started off with variety. We did baseball. We did basketball. A football game. College or pro, Mr. Crenshaw, that you would like to have been in the stands for a real good seat for?
January 4th, 2003. Green Bay, Wisconsin, snow's falling in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And Atlanta Falcons give them their first home playoff loss.
Quarterback by?
Michael Vick.
That was a great game.
Would love to have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you know where mine is.
Yeah.
Soldier Field. I don't know the date, excuse me, but it was the NFC Championship game. Bears, Rams.
Yeah.
The week before, they shut out the Giants 21-0. Taught Bill Parcells a really good lesson, which the next year he came back and swamped it on the Bears.
Yeah.
But it was that game against the Rams where they shut down Eric Dickerson, 24-0. And as there's a late fumble, Wilbur Marshall picks it up, and the snow comes down as if George Halas is shaking an asbestos blanket up in heaven down on Soldier's Field. Because it's not the Super Bowl. It's always that game that gets you there.
We talk
about the Braves, that championship game that got them to the World Series. That's always the most exciting.
Yeah.
And so it would be that 85 Bears championship game. Jahi, real quick. USC, Texas, national championship game. That's it.
With Keith Jackson on the call.
Well, Matt Leinart and
Vince Young.
There you go. All right, we are coming back to wrap things up here. We're going to give you our movie recommendations and just remind you about the things that you can check out on our website throughout the course of the week. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And again, you can check us out on radio.com, all your devices and your smart speakers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.